Thank you so much for being with us today on this Family Talk broadcast with our host, psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane, and Dr. Dobson, last time we heard the story of our guest, Sarah Ost, and to be frank, it was pretty difficult to listen to.
Well, for good reason. Sarah has been through an awful lot in her life. You know, some of it has involved grief and pain from the hands of others. But honestly, some of it was brought about by her own misbehavior. Mm-hmm. And we're going to kind of recap the heart of her story in a moment. But first, Luann, I know you know our guest personally, don't you?
I do.
And because her story is so difficult, and to be honest, it is shameful at times, I think it's important that you tell our listeners just a little bit about how you came to know her and what you've observed in her life and in her Christian walk today.
Well, Doctor, I actually came to know Sarah several months ago when I had signed up to attend a Bible study at a new church we were attending. Sarah was the leader of that. And I came in late one night, and Sarah was actually up front sharing her testimony. And I was blown away because here I had sat under her for 3 or 4 weeks as a leader, and I had no idea the depth of her testimony, the depth of the shame and the heartache that she had experienced. And her past is full of darkness, as she will admit. But quite honestly, my friend Sarah Ost is Exhibit A of the redemption of Christ.
You know, Sarah makes me think of Psalm 40, where it says, "He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." You know, Luann, when I was a kid, we used to sing a song about that. It was called, "He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a place to stay. He puts a song in my life today, a song of praise, hallelujah." Do you remember that song?
I think I have, Doctor.
That was a long time ago.
It's a great scripture. And I got to tell you, Sarah, I have personally seen that redemption of Christ in your life.
And that's all God. So I give God all of that glory, because that was not me, but I praise God for what he's done.
And Sarah, what you shared with us last time was a pretty sordid story, in some ways very depressing, because, and maybe I can summarize just a little bit, but you were sexually abused by your father right during the time of puberty, the worst possible time to go through something like that. And it had a devastating effect on you emotionally and behaviorally, and led to promiscuous behavior and a first marriage where you were not faithful. And that ended in divorce and a second marriage where you also were involved with a married man. And that ended in your own divorce. And that brought us up to the end of the program last time. You really got in just about as big a mess as anybody can get in very early. We understand why, and you're not blaming everything you did on the abuse of your father, but it played a key role. And is that why you are willing to talk about it now? Is it what Luann just said, that you might take your experience and use it to enlighten other women who are tempted with adultery? It's not the answer. It's not the way out. And God can forgive and will forgive and redeem and transform a person who's willing to yield to him. Is that your message?
That's exactly my message. I could easily, and I think a lot of people do, try to look at your childhood and go, well, that's why I'm the way I am. And I even used that for many years, but that's not true. My childhood did shape some things in me. Certainly there were some traumatic things that caused me to be a little messed up. But I chose to make the choices I made as an adult. And I chose to be very rebellious against God. And what I hope the listeners will hear is that God chased me He didn't just sit back and go, yeah, you're really messed up. You're going to hell. He chased me and he watched me over and over again make these horrible decisions and hurt so many people, including my own children. And I look back and I go, he was there every time, waiting for me to finally turn around and go, Lord, I'm willing now. Please come help me. Help me out of that pit, because I was in a deep pit and I thought I was stuck there.
Mm. You know, there was a book written 30 years ago by a woman named Joyce Landorf, and it was titled His Stubborn Love. But that's the theme of it, that God won't let you go, that he will continually woo you and call you and be willing to forgive you. Mm. I just think of the woman caught in a very active adultery and was brought to Jesus. Mm. And he knelt down and he wrote something in the sand. Wouldn't you like to know what he wrote on that day? And then he turned to the men who had brought her to him and said, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. Hmm. And then they left. And he turned to her and said, where are your accusers? Hmm. I don't accuse you either. That's what he said to you, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And, doctor, somebody's tuning in right now. They needed to hear that very thing. They're thinking, I'm the woman with the scarlet letter. That is me. There's no hiding it. And you just told me that God doesn't accuse me anymore. God forgives me. That's the bottom line.
Well, that's why you're here today, Sarah, to tell that story. But your story is not over. About 15 years ago, you met a man and married for the third time. And his name is?
Tony.
And Tony knows you're here.
Yes, he does.
And it's okay if you talk about your experience.
It is very okay.
Well, tell us about Tony.
Tony is a wonderful man. He's very supportive and very loving. But our marriage, and I think you talk about it in the anatomy of an affair, Tony and I met as an affair, so it went down that same path. And in the beginning, it was all roses and wonderful, but within a few years, we started having the same problems we've had before.
Always does.
Always does. I was in that same pattern. And I think, as you mentioned before, it was then that I started going, how come I keep doing this over and over again? And he and I started having problems several years into our marriage. And I found myself starting to become attracted to a man at work. And I knew where that road was going to go because I'd been down it before. And I was praying. I was going to church. I even was going to a Bible study for a while. Mm. And I'm going, Lord, you got to fix this one. Okay, fix this. I don't want to do this. Yet again, it was just a matter of time before I was in another affair.
Mm-hmm. People will have problems at this point trying to make sense out of what you're saying, because here you were talking to the Lord in a Bible study, reading the Bible, and behaving like the world in the worst sense. Mm-hmm. When did you come to know him?
When I really came to know him was years later. I was in a full-fledged affair, and I actually was in an affair with this man for several years. My husband did not know about it. My husband said, this isn't working, and we geographically separated for about a year. He moved to another state. I stayed there with the kids. And this is where it gets really interesting. He happened to be talking to his sister on the phone one day, and she lived in the same state I did. And she asked him, what's it going to take for you to come home? And he said laughingly, well, I'll tell you what, when God drops me on my head, I'll come home. 2 days later, he walked out on the driveway, slipped on a patch of black ice, and fell directly on the back of his head.
My goodness.
Knocked him out for several seconds. When he woke up, looking up at this beautiful sky, that conversation came to mind. And he said, okay, Lord, I'm going home. And I panicked. I mean, I was in this full-fledged affair. We'd been separated for a year. I love my husband, but he's a very black and white person. And in my mind, he could not forgive. So I was definitely in a panic about what to do about him coming home. And that's really when the Lord really started working on my heart. And within a few days, I was home one night. And the only way I can describe it is my heart started screaming at me, just screaming at me about, you have got to call Tony and tell him. And I wrestled with this for several hours. And literally standing in my den, telling God, because I knew it was God, you don't understand. I can't tell him this. If I tell him this, my life's going to get destroyed. I could lose my job. He's going to probably tell the other man's wife. I mean, the kids will get, there's no value to come out of this. But after several hours, God wore me down, and I finally called Tony. And at that point, I spilled everything. I told him everything. And he got very quiet, and I knew he was so hurt because I could hear the tears in his voice. And he thanked me. Of all things, he thanked me for telling him the truth. And he hung up. And at that point, I was screaming at God, I can't believe you did this. You have just destroyed my life. How could you do this? Because I truly believe that's what was coming next. Mm-hmm. So Tony did come home within a few days. It was not all a bed of roses. We fought for many, many months because I was still really independent and rebellious and basically telling him, I am what I am, deal with it. A few weeks later, I think God finally broke through, I think, the last barrier to my heart. And I truly knew, on a Saturday night, I knew what God wanted me to do. He wanted me to talk to Tony and tell him, I'm going to change. I'm going to go to marital counseling. I'm going to go to personal counseling. I will break up all relationships with this man and all friends. I will change jobs. I will do whatever it takes to save our marriage. I truly believed at that point he would not forgive. When I told Tony everything and I braced for the impact, and he just looked at me and said, okay. I didn't get judgment. I didn't get rejection. When I opened my eyes and looked at him, that's when it hit me. I saw God for the first time and realized God forgives. I didn't see my husband anymore. I saw God through my husband. And from that point on, I would say probably the next 12 months, I was on my knees and I was repenting and I was crying and I was begging God. I knew he had forgiven me, but I was begging him, don't let go of me, because now I get it. You actually love me. I didn't believe he loved me. And it took, I believe, God working through a man that I didn't believe could forgive for me to finally see God, because I couldn't see him before that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been married to Tony now for 15 years.
15 years.
And you've been faithful to him for how long?
8 years now since we reconciled, yes.
Sarah, I've shared this on the radio before, but I need to share it again. When I was 3 years of age, I was in church and I was sitting beside my mother. And my father was a minister, and he opened the altar. In those days, there was an altar, and people were invited to come and give their hearts to the Lord and to confess their sins and to receive him as their Savior. I was three. I didn't understand all that, and I couldn't have put it in words, but I experienced it. And I went to that altar, and I knelt, and I wept. I don't know what I was repenting of, but I wept. And the Lord did something in me. It was the highlight of my whole life. When I was 3 years of age, I remember it as though it were yesterday. But what I remember most is a sense of cleanness and acceptance and forgiveness. How could a three-year-old experience that? I don't know, but I did. Did you have a moment like that?
I had series of moments like that. After we reconciled and started going to church, every week my children would ask me, why are you crying? I wept every Sunday in church because I just kept thinking about how I don't deserve forgiveness and God forgives. And I just wept probably the first year and a half of church. Every weekend I did that. And I could feel over time how God was peeling those layers away and taking away that wretched sin and cleansing me.
Are you through with all that?
Through with infidelity?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Forever.
Forever.
Are you absolutely committed to being faithful to your husband.
I am.
Have you ever heard of Jerry Jenkins' book called Hedges?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the theme of it?
About putting hedges around your marriage.
Absolutely.
So that you don't, yes.
Yeah, and that you don't put yourself in a position to do things that are wrong because you know they're wrong.
Right.
And you don't yield to the little temptation because it leads to a big temptation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The analogy my husband and I use is I tell people I'm like an alcoholic. I really don't hardly drink. I'm not an alcoholic, but I'm like one. If I agree to go to the bar, eventually I'm going to drink. Well, the bar for me is if I allow myself to start becoming close to another man emotionally, that's going to the bar.
When you were a child, even before you were abused, did you feel loved?
I felt very loved by my mother. I believed my father loved me at that time.
Is there any possibility that all of this philandering that you were doing there represented a search for something that you didn't get from him?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I know I was searching for love. I was searching for, and I couldn't believe, even though I searched for it, I couldn't believe anybody could really love me because I thought my dad did and then he hurt me. So I expanded that. In fact, Steve Holt talks about scripting where you have some kind of a traumatic event, and over time you keep re-scripting that every time you get hurt. Well, mine was what my father did, which turned into you can't trust any man, which some of that came from my mother, which turned into you can't trust anybody, men or women, which turned into you can't trust God because God's just like him.
Yeah.
I tried to make God a little God instead of trusting God for who he is. So I know I was searching to fill that void, and I couldn't fill it. And what I know now is that void was God. God has that void in you to fill. And everything I didn't get from my father, God fills that. I don't need that from other people.
Is your relationship with the Lord growing?
Yes,
now?
Absolutely. When my husband and I refer to what happened in our marriage as a miracle, we really believe that because everybody in society had said, you guys are done. You know, there's no coming back. And we refer to what God did as arranging the pieces on the chessboard. And when we threw in the towel and said, we're done, that's when God warmed up and said, now watch what I do. Let me show you what a big God I am. And I saw that and went, he did all that for me? For me? After I was so rebellious and so bad and hurt so many people? It's still just amazing to me because I don't deserve. And he does that for anybody who will accept him.
Mm-hmm. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that applies to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hebrews 8:12, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. What a promise that is,
mm-hmm.
that it's not based on our goodness.
Yep.
It's based on a free atonement, and that is what the Scripture is referring to. Psalm 86:5, you are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. He heard your call, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. In Psalm 32:5, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Mm. Aren't those beautiful scriptures?
They are.
You know, Luann, there are people listening to us right now who look at their own lives and they say, for whatever reason, I cannot approach the throne of God because of my wickedness.
Yeah.
I've done terrible things. Some of them have committed murder that nobody knows about. We're talking to somebody right now who has done the most heinous things,
mm-hmm.
and they think they can never be forgiven for it.
Mm-hmm.
What it says here is that they can be.
It's true.
And willingly. I met a man named Ted Bundy.
Yes.
Who had killed 28 women and girls. I don't know, only God knows, if his repentance before the Lord was genuine. But the man who counseled him and worked with him for many years, had appointments with him on death row, believes it, believes that Ted Bundy had repented of his sin before he died. And he told me that he had the night before he was executed. So to those who are listening to us today and feel beyond hope, and they have such a sense of guilt and self-condemnation, turn to the Lord. You can't simply say, I want you to do something for me. You repent and confess your sin. Sarah, thank you for being with us. Thank you for taking us on your journey. Is it going to be different from now on?
It already is different, and it just gets better every day because the Lord's there with me.
Thank you. It was a difficult thing for you to talk about, I'm sure. We appreciate your coming and being with us.
Thank you very much.
And I'll be seeing you at church for sure, Sarah.
Yes.
Doctor, in these closing moments, I'm sitting here thinking about those verses that you just shared and the heart of Sarah's story, which really, as you just said, is that anyone can be forgiven of their sins. And I know there's at least one person listening right now that desperately wants the freedom and the forgiveness that they've heard Sarah talk about today.
Well, Luann, there's the takeaway value for this story. We have invited Sarah to be here not just to tell about her journey, which is pretty heavy, but to illustrate the fact that there is no one beyond the reach of the Lord. There's no one that is not covered by His love. He loved us while we were yet sinners. And Sarah's sins are as far away as the east is from the west. That's what the scripture says, and that's what I believe. And our listeners also need to know that it can be exactly that same way for them if they will repent of their sins and turn away from them and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is a wonderful experience.
Well, Doctor, I have prayed that prayer myself many, many years ago. But for those who don't know, would you take a moment here and walk them through the prayer of salvation right now?
Well, Luann, there's no single way to do it. That's one of the interesting things about the Gospels for me. Jesus dealt with the people that he encountered on those dusty roads in Jerusalem according to their individual needs and personality. You know, he talked to the rich young ruler, and he said some really tough things to him because he needed to confront his greed and the other problems that that were there. He talked to Nicodemus at night about the need to become born again. To the woman who was caught in an affair and dragged to his feet, he said, go and sin no more. It's not a formula. It is a relationship. And it's reaching out to the Lord and believing in him and asking for his forgiveness for sin, because all have sinned and fallen short. All. Everybody, you and me, there's no one who has not fallen into sin. It's the human condition. But it is in recognizing that and saying, Lord, lead me, I will follow. And I want you to come and live in my heart. And I will do the best I can to obey you and learn the scriptures and give to other people. I'm going to become a new creature in Christ. That's what the scripture tells me. And it is available for all those people out there whose life has spiraled out of control and they don't know where to turn. And they are lonely inside and confused and have no idea what happens after death. They've never understood the concept of eternal life. Every bit of that is available, and it costs you nothing, and it costs you everything.
So well said, Doctor. And I'm sure we're talking to someone right now who would like to know more about how to become a Christian. If that's you, give us a call. We would love to talk with you, pray with you over the phone. Our number is 877-732-6825. 877-732-6825. Or if you prefer, you can even go online to myfamilytalk.com. We have links to information on how you can become a Christian. Again, that's all at myfamilytalk.com. You can even email us at that site.
And Luann, if someone did pray that prayer and asked for forgiveness and salvation and asked for Jesus to come into their hearts, as Sarah has done, I hope they'll let us know about it, because we would love to hear from them.
We sure would. They can find us at myfamilytalk.com.